I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cheese and Pickle.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights. Hello, I'm Julia Rayside. Each episode, my guest chooses a favourite TV memory to talk about. Today, I'm joined by Mark O'Sullivan, who is the co-creator and co-star of the brilliant Channel 4 comedy, Lee and Dean. What would you like to bring today?
I would like to bring, and I hesitate to do this,
okay,
because it's quite an uncomfortable view, Lynn Perry's appearance on The Word.
Okay, yeah, no, I know where you're coming from on this one. So why do you want to relive the horror of this?
Because when I think about, and there's so much TV from my growing up period that sticks in my mind, but when I was thinking about extreme emotions to things, I remember feeling so uncomfortable watching that. And it takes quite a lot to make me feel uncomfortable
really?
Watching something. Yeah.
Okay.
But I remember just thinking, this is an incredible car crash.
Yes,
and I can't
absolutely
not watch.
I think it's really interesting you pick this because your show, Lee and Dean, your brilliant Channel 4 show, I believe still available on all four, both series.
Well, both series, yeah.
If you haven't, do. It's amazing. It's the comedy of the unsaid, like nobody saying what they need, they want to say. And this interview is like literally the opposite of that.
Yeah.
There's nothing she doesn't say. And it gets worse.
She shares and she shares and she shares and then she sings.
She does. Oh my God, the singing is incredible. So let's start at the beginning. She's being interviewed by Terry Christian of The Word on the sofa. There was a strange dynamic where it was always like somebody slightly anachronistic would be on the sofa. All the young people would be whooping and baying. It was just an odd thing for them to do. But, you know, she was very game. She'd certainly enjoyed hospitality before the interview.
Moments before, someone will have stood in some dog poo for that being famous.
Oh,
for I'll
God.
Do anything for 20 seconds of fame.
Yeah.
You know, so it that had sort of set the tone
it
already.
It did, yeah.
And I think I'm right in saying that she'd not long been sort of assisted away from her long-running role in Coronation Street.
Yes, I don't know what happened there, and presumably legally we can't talk about it, but yes, there was definitely a sense that this was the aftermath of her, the height of her fame, and she was kind of coming down the slide the other side.
We were over the apex.
Yes, that's a nice way of saying it. Yeah, yeah. And so I don't know if she was promoting something. I did see, I watched this clip on YouTube, or several actually, because there are a few, aren't there, and audio one, some of them, but there is a couple of visual. And then it led straight on to a documentary she made, I think the year after this. I think it was just called The Ghost of Ivy Tilsley. Obviously, that's the character she played on Coronation Street. Now, you're looking surprised. It's actually on YouTube. You can watch all
thing.
Of it. Yeah. And it's her packing up her life after a lifetime of, you know, being a famous TV star. And it's kind of amazing.
I'm not being funny. What are we doing talking here?
I know. Come
that.
On. Let's go. I know. Genuinely worth checking out. You're now cancelling all your afternoon meetings.
A little bit.
But she's, there's nothing she won't talk about. She's kind of a dream guest for The Word, I suppose, because that kind of drunken, anarchic thing is what they were trying to create, wasn't
it? Yeah, they loved that, and the audience loved it. And I think I loved watching it, but
I think
it was
we all did. It was uncomfortable. This is, what year is this? Between like 94, I think, maybe?
I think it's around then, mid-90s.
And he almost doesn't really even need to ask her questions. She just starts volunteering the most incredibly personal.
She's obviously been kind of wound up in the green room, you know, lubricated and sent
she's
out.
She's well oiled.
And she's, I mean, she doesn't look like she's in a great place, does she?
No, no.
I don't want to, you know, perpetuate laughing at people who are not in a super place, but
it's stuck in your memory, clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
really
it did mine too. The minute you said it, I was like, I know which clip you're going to talk about, because it's just, it was...
Apparently she'd been like a cabaret singer before being an actress, and she was in Kes as well. Did you know that?
No!
I had no idea.
Who was she in Kes? Don't say the Kestrel.
No, I can't remember. It's so long since I've seen it, but I was
oh my goodness.
I was reminding myself of who.
Oh, happily we watched that again.
But yeah, so I think it was her kind of, okay, I'm out of Coronation Street. I can kind of rekindle my former career.
Yes.
And lots of people did that on the back of Coronation Street.
Yeah, they did.
Like, I think, what was her name? Bette Lynch.
Oh, yes, Julie Goodyear.
I think she kind of tried to have a new career based on an old career after her Coronation Street career, and it just sort of didn't.
No.
Happen.
And now all I've got in my head is the clip of, you know, I do another podcast about a show called Howard's Way.
Yeah.
One of the actors from that, he plays Jack. There's a clip of him, I think, on Wogan singing Old Man River. Because they all seem to have that in him. Yes. It's like, well, if you like my acting, wait till you hear me sing.
Oh, and yeah. It's only a short skip to Paul Shane.
Oh, no, of course.
That Unchained Melody.
That's the ultimate. That is the ultimate.
Oh, God.
And, you know, he's Paul Shane. Like, grab your moment. Why not? But, yeah, it's quite hard to watch.
Pebble Mill.
It's quite hard to watch. Well, see, that was because I grew up in the Midlands for most of my childhood when we finally stopped moving house. So Pebble Mill, to me, I don't think it's there anymore, is it? But that was quite a glamorous location because that was like the place near me where television was made because everything else was all TV centre. It was all going live and, you know,
and
the opening title
sounds
snack.
Like a sort of a downhill spa.
Pebble Mill. It does, yeah. It's somewhere they'd go in Acorn Antiques to go and get their, you know, pedicures or whatever.
Or somewhere to put a dog down.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, how sad. Also, actually, it was where they filmed the interiors of Howard's Way, I later found out. If I'd known that then,
wow.
I'd have lost my mind.
That's amazing.
I know, it's completely insane. Like a seafaring soap opera set by the sea, all of it inside filmed in Birmingham.
Landlocked.
Exactly, completely landlocked. And I did go on a school trip once to Pebble Mill. It was genuinely the best day of my life. No, it was. I met Mark Goodyear. I went into the Archer studio and met the man who did the Foley for the Archers, like all the sound effects. And then I looked into the eyes of the man who pressed play on the theme tune every day and he looked like he wanted to commit suicide. He was so bored.
Yeah, it was still the best day of your life.
It was, because I got to look behind the curtain. That, to me, was very exciting.
Wow.
If you've watched as much TV as we both clearly have,
yeah,
then, you know,
yeah,
that is
yeah.
super cool.
I'm with you.
Anyway, so back to... Oh, we have to go back to Lynn. So her... We won't go into too much detail, but she basically just starts talking about having plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And having her lips filled with, like, matter from her own buttocks.
And I think that is one of the reasons why she maybe lost her job.
Oh, do you think?
Apparently, yeah,
oh,
something
no.
lip-related because, you know, she walked in one day and she didn't look anything like Lynn Perry.
God, yeah. And obviously, you must stress, as a woman, it's just... I laugh at people who have bad surgery as much as everyone else, but the kind of the reason they have it, obviously, is the patriarchy. Down with the patriarchy.
Oh, yeah, no, of course.
You're here to represent them.
And I know it's my fault.
It is your fault.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't have made her get her lips done.
No.
That's all
sorry.
I'm saying.
Sorry.
But then she goes on about how she's basically been through the Coronation Street cast, the male members of the cast.
Yeah.
Like a dose of salt.
And then she talks about kind of sleeping with anything.
Yeah.
And I think she mentions animals in there as well.
This is the famous quote. She says,
"Listen, man, woman or dog, throw it on the bed. I'll go throw it out."
Oh.
That's a direct quote. I know. Your face seemed to have a fond recollection then of, oh,
well,
that's... Yeah, that's right.
what I'm pretending in my head, because all of my mum's family were from Rochdale, but I'm just imagining that that's like a saying out there.
Yes, probably.
Man, woman or dog, throw it on the bed.
But I think it probably ended up in a few tabloids the next day, I imagine.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
the day after that.
And
yeah.
Then she went into her song.
Oh, God.
Which was I Will Survive.
That's right. What else was she going to sing?
And, well, if you've seen Madonna recently on Eurovision...
Yes!
It has similarities with that performance in terms of...
The delivery, the tuning, perhaps?
Yeah,
the...
sort of the creative tuning.
Okay.
I
oh,
suppose.
That's... Yes, no, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of like her own version of...
But do you know...
A scale.
Inside... Yeah. A new scale. Unknown to man before
another...
that moment.
Yeah.
But actually, I was watching it again this morning, and she does look like she's having an amazing time.
Oh, no, she really does. I mean, she's a bit probably pissed.
Yeah.
And she's on TV, which is where she wants to be. And that's
people
enough.
Seem to be adoring her and,
yeah.
and enjoying it. And, of course, some people are laughing at her. But,
yeah.
But, you know, because I also read, I don't know if you did, you know, she didn't have a very happy life.
No.
And she had lots of things that went kind of very wrong for her. So there is something quite nice about it, thinking about it, that she had that moment.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
In the sun.
And clearly, actually, like I said, this documentary that she then made a year later or 2 years later, it clearly her fame sort of maintained for whatever reason. She had the limelight for a bit longer. I think a lot of people leave soaps and they do sort of just disappear sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're right. It's tinged with, oh, look at her, she's having a lovely time. But, yeah, looking back now, I think we're going to do this more and more with TV. I look back now at the 90s and say, oh, crikey, that's a bit much. And the ethics of having someone vulnerable on TV and all that kind of thing. I think, personally, we're going to look back at, like, Simon Cowell's output in another 10 years and go, what, millionaires torturing people who are vulnerable and poor and they just want to be on television? That doesn't seem very nice.
I completely agree. Yeah. It's awful. And the fact that it's, you know, it's celebrated so much.
It is. Well, it's kind of the most popular form of entertainment still. Yeah. It has been for, you know, a decade or more. It just makes me feel slightly queasy, Mark. I won't mind admitting.
No, I'm with you on that.
Mm. Well, I'm glad we've put the world of TV to rights.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping me do that.
That's okay. And apologies to anyone who's now going to go and watch it. I'm really sorry. You've never had it in your life before.
It's a bit of fun. Remember her fondly. Now, before you go, would you like to open the box of delights and choose one of our quickfire questions?
I will.
Right, hand that over here. Okay, what is the scariest thing you saw on TV as a child?
Yeah, there's loads, but I can tell you exactly the one that comes to mind, and it's Dramarama.
Oh, yes.
The ITV kind of play for today for kids sort of thing. And it was an episode where a group of kids, they go into this place, it's like a factory, at night, and they're supposedly on a sort of a ghost hunt.
It turns out,
about halfway in, that half of them are just there to play jokes on the other half and to make them think that there is a ghost. And it all comes out at the end, hilarious. Oh, that was you after all, and you did that. Yeah, that was us, and we jumped out and stuff. And then one of them says, oh, and you picked up that box. And everyone looks ashen face and says, what box?
Did you really, really poop yourself?
Honestly, I can still picture it. It stays with me, that moment.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if you can get them anymore. You probably can't.
I think you can. I think they're all on the tube, but I've never quite found that one. So.
That's genuinely something I would love to see again
if
now.
If anyone finds it, let us know.
Last Christmas, I got my friend, because, you know, you get anything printed on T-shirts now, I got my friend a Dramarama T-shirt, and she nearly wept with joy.
What did you get? Like the rollers with the letters on?
Yeah, no, it was kind of like yellow lettering, but like the font, the correct font and everything.
Do you remember the theme?
Dramarama. And then there's some synth stuff going on.
Dramarama.
It was kind of creepy, wasn't it?
Yeah. But brilliant. Why didn't they do that anymore?
I don't know. There is actually, I don't know if your kids are the right age for it, but my son for a while got into a thing on CBBC called Creeped Out.
Yeah.
And it was properly brilliant. And it kind of felt like they were doing that
face mask thing.
That actually stopped my son watching after a while. I think he was about sort of 8 or 9 watching it. And he just slightly couldn't deal with the kid at the beginning who sort of, does he whistle or sing a little tune and he's got a mask on?
Yeah.
And he's wearing a parka.
And a sort of a satchel as well.
Yes. And he links all the stories, even though they're not linked. And there's always just a creepy, it's like a Tales of the Unexpected or a Twilight Zone thing. For kids, so, so brilliant.
Yeah.
But so they do a similar thing now. Check that out if you haven't. Creeped Out, very, very good. Mark, thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find links to the YouTube clips from today's episode on our Twitter feed at Box Delights Pod. Come and say hello. Bye.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.